Brandon, and this is the Kimi Pod. Listen, if y'all looking for a podcast where y'all can kind of listen and get some insights on things, pull back that rug that you like to cover some of your problems and everything else, this is the podcast for you, man. Make sure y'all tap in. We screen basically every Thursday. So we're going to get with you. Is it? Yo, Q, my boy, what's going on?
What's up with you, man? Nothing much. Chilling, ready to get started, ready to dive in.
Yes,
sir.
You got to clarify that, man. You diving in what? What you ready on, to dive in?
Come on, man. No diddy, man. Ready to dive into this podcast.
Yeah, yeah, you start that thing like, yeah, I'm ready to dive in. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You got to clarify that, man. How your week was, man?
I had a pretty good week. Let's see, nothing really too eventful. Oh, my books came this week. I know nobody don't care, but my books came this week. I'm ready to get back into reading, so I'm diving into that head first. So happy about that.
Which one are you gonna start? I know you had post something in the group,
A book called Way of the Wolf by Jordan Belfort.
Yeah, I want to tackle that one.
Yeah, I done dove into it. Is so far like is
first chapter.
First chapter is good. I'm on chapter two, but my reading style get kind of different. Like I actually, if something like really catches me, I go back and read it three or four times to make sure it's like etched in my brain, burned in my brain, so I can explain it to somebody else. So I don't really be in a rush to get a book finished. Like some people get a book on a Monday. Oh yeah, man, I finished this book by Wednesday. You know everything that you got everything you were supposed to get out of that book in those 2 days. I'm sure you did.
Probably not. Hey, you ever, like some years ago, years ago, I had came across this guy. He was saying, he was explaining a lot of people don't know how to read. They trying to read to understand. He was just explaining that most of the time you just got to read. And then, like, throughout your life, your brain remember something that you read, like, a couple years ago. I don't know how true that is, but, like, I always thought, when it come down to reading, basically, yeah, like you reading the comprehend and take in information so you can apply it to it. But basically, he was just like reading, just read. So I don't know how I ain't test that method because I can't do it. I just can't do it, man.
To me, that ain't my stilo. Like if I'm reading, I'm reading. Like I feel like if I read something, I should be able to apply it in like in real life scenarios. Because most of the time when I'm reading is self help stuff in the Bible. So if I can't apply it, then it ain't no point for me to read. I don't really do like the romance novels and all that other stuff. So
I ain't never did romance novels either.
Man, I tried it in high school. I can't do it. I got a vivid imagination. I was like,
oh man,
nah, I can't be reading these in public. Hey. Can't read these in public. So I had to cut them out.
I think that's pretty cool, man. You say you got a vivid imagination. So basically whatever you read, you can imagine in real time.
Yeah. As I'm reading, like the book that I'm reading now, Way of the Wolf, he was explaining something about how they were in the boardroom. Yeah. He was writing on the whiteboard, like, and I could see all the stuff as he's doing it, as though it's like a movie playing in my head while I'm reading it. So yeah, that's how I do when I'm reading.
Wow, I think that's pretty dope, man. Actually, I got the book too because you posted in the group. I was supposed to start it, I didn't start it. It'd be like all types of stuff be coming, just happening, man. Like, so how you get the time to? They kind of prioritize stuff like that, and
read. Honestly, I run my life by like a schedule. I'm pretty much I'm gonna do the same thing. And granted, I don't have any kids, so that's a huge help to me. But
you want kids?
No, no. For the most part, I'm gonna do the same thing pretty much about every day. So I can get busy and don't get a chance to do it. But I made it a priority. Two things I made a priority. To spend more time with God, like not just, oh, I'm going to say a prayer and that's going to be, no, to actually meditate on the word, spend more time with God and spend more time reading. So I carved out time to do that. That's just how it happened.
Yeah. What time you normally do those stuff? Like, is it so specific time?
As far as my God time, I do that in the morning. Like after my alarm go off, I go in the bathroom, meditate, like. And when I say meditate, I mean read the word and, like, just think on it, pray. Like, and I got this music that I listen to on YouTube. Like, It's like Bible study music, like where it's just calm, cool, and collect. That way I know ain't nobody texting me. Nobody's going to call me. Nobody's going to bother me.
Yeah.
So there is no interruption time in what I'm doing. So I do that in the morning time. That's how I try to start my days off. So as far as like the reading of the book that I'm reading now, I try to do that when I get home from work. Like just because if I get distracted while doing, I don't feel as guilty getting distracted while I'm reading that book as I would with doing my God time. So
Right, yeah.
I try to let the God time be in the beginning of the day. Okay. So that's how I typically do it.
Man, when you brought that up, I just thought about something, man. I thought about when a couple years ago, God had the Holy Spirit kind of had, I want to say pressure, but it wasn't pressure. It was just like kind of nudge me into getting up at 4 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
and, you know, spend some quiet time. I read and meditate, all the other stuff. And I did it for a couple of days. And then I was like, man, this is a whole lot. You know what I'm saying? Just to kind of get up and prioritize that, even though it's really, I think stuff like that is very important to do. You know what I'm saying? It's like calm your spirit down. It really actually sets your day up, you know what I'm saying, for the rest of the day. Anything that kind of come your way, any situation that can go wrong, for some odd reason you have this calmness, that all because you set your day up before that, you know what I'm saying? It's mm-hmm. like it kind of can kind of help you. It just kind of calm your spirit down so you won't get agitated, so you won't, you know what I'm saying? You can respond well, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I did it for about a week, and I seen a significant, you know what I'm saying, difference in me doing that, you know, prioritizing God time. But then I was like, man, this is just a whole lot, boy, just getting up early in the morning. So, you know, I thought about the scriptures, you know, sacrifice is better than what?
Obedience is
better than sacrifice, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I literally was in obedience in that area.
But honestly, sometimes I think like what we do is we kind of set ourselves up for failure. In the aspect of saying like, okay, I'm gonna do it at 4. Maybe. What time do you normally get up?
See, that's what I'm saying. I go to work at 6, so I get up at 5, and I set my alarm clock at 4:30, just for me to do that. But that bed be like, don't go.
Yeah, and it's like that. And like some mornings when I get up, honestly, I'm not even in the mood to do that.
Oh man,
I don't feel like doing it.
Yeah,
but I'm trying to get myself mentally to the point of, well, what if God don't feel like doing what I need him to do? Like, I'm trying to work on my discipline in that.
Yeah.
Because I feel like if I could be disciplined there, my discipline could start working in other areas of my life as well. So I just, there is no rhyme or reason behind it. It's just, I have to do it. Like,
yeah, you have to do it.
It's not comfortable all the time. It's not something that I want to do all the time. I'm not even saying it like, oh, I get up every morning and I be wholeheartedly ready to do this. No, sometimes I want to lay in that bed. Sometimes I get up and I won't go in the bathroom and do it. And I just sit up there and I try to think of some scriptures that I know, like firsthand, like off the top of my mind, just be focusing on them. And then I'll pray. Like prayer, that's even if I don't get up and read, I'm gonna pray.
Yeah.
But I try to be intentional with the getting out the bed and actually separating myself in that manner to actually go in the bathroom and do it, like make a sacrifice, because God honors sacrifice.
Yeah, he does. I kind of got away from it because the crazy thing is reason why, you know, I kind of beat myself up about everything, about this right here, because God, he kind of nudged me to do that at 4 a.m., but then when I had to come to go to work at 4 a.m., so that means I had to get up at 3, like, 3:00. Like, I did it effortless.
That's normally how it is. Because I think naturally, we know that it's the same way with going to church.
Yeah.
We will psych ourselves out, give ourselves every reason not to go to church on a Wednesday. I'm just use Wednesday because most people, they're going to go on a Sunday. We're going to use Wednesday because Wednesday is, in our mind, an optional day. We don't have to.
Yeah,
it doesn't. Yeah, we don't have to go on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
But we'll make every excuse as to why we won't go on a Wednesday. But if your job said you work Wednesday, you're going to be there, because we've told ourselves there's a reward for going to work. I know that when I go to work, I'm going to receive a paycheck. But there's also a reward for doing God's business.
Yeah, but
the fact that we can't get that reward right now is the reason why mentally it kind of is not the same. Like, it shouldn't be like that, but mentally it's not the same. I know that when I go clock in for this day, I'm going to make $700. Okay, going to church is optional. And my reward might not be here today. So might not be here on the next pay period. Might not be here. But we get a reward either way. But we don't look at it like that. So it's easy to psych yourself out to not to go to church, not to read your Bible, not to sacrifice, give God his time. So it's natural, you know. But that's why you have to fight against the natural. Because naturally you're going to do what feels good to you.
Yeah.
But serving God a lot of times is an uncomfortable thing. It's not always easy. So
that's well, it requires you for you to deny your flesh, deny a whole lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people don't want to deny the things that make them feel good. You know what I'm saying? It feel good. So if it feel good, it feel right. You know what I'm saying? I think a lot of times that's where the kind of enemy kind of, you know, rob us of certain things, get us in certain situations, create, you know, I'm just hypothetically speaking, create baby mamas, create habits, drink alcohol,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying, you know, drugs or whatnot.
One of y'all,
because it feel good.
Right. One of y'all guys sent a video to the group chat, I think it was last night.
Yeah.
And it was talking about Adam and Eve in the garden.
Yeah.
And it said all the stuff that you can have is right here.
Yeah, it's right here, yeah.
But
I had posted that
one. Yeah, but the enemy, Satan, the one thing that God forbid was the one thing that caught their eye, the one thing that they wanted the most. So it's like now, like you saying, all this other stuff looks very tempting. It looks good, and to create those things, that's an illusion. It gets you unfocused. So anything that takes away your focus from God is serving its purpose. But that's where it's basically, it's called the Garden of Eden, right?
Garden of Eden. Yeah.
So it's basically that same scenario. It's just with more things. So that's why when you sent that, I was like, wow, I never thought about it from that perspective in today's time. But it's pretty much the same concept.
Yeah, it's definitely the same concept, man. Man, you can't tell nobody, let's say, man, you shouldn't do that. Matter of fact, if like you know, my kids, you know, every time I told them something that they shouldn't have done, they're like, nah, you don't do that. No, don't do that. You know what I'm saying? They wanted to do. You know what I'm saying? It's like almost a mechanism go off in their mind. Like, I wonder why he said not to do that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that that's really what it is in the world. And I was talking to this this older lady. She's elder of the church. She's 75 years old, man. And she always, you know, she basically like my spiritual mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? We was just talking today, and we just kind of chatted up about how, you know, a lot of people, you know, young people don't just really go to church. And I told her, I mean, there's a lot of older people don't go to church no more either. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And, you know, I think it's this concept, you know, like, for instance, because I hear people always use this concept. Man, they always throw, I give an example. Like, you know, you see, like, a pastor that have a mega church, got a lot of followers and stuff like that, and you know, they tend to, I don't know, I guess they in the media a lot more, so their life is publicized, and then you can kind of, you know what I'm saying, examine and judge their lifestyle, you know what I'm saying. But the crazy thing is, man, same thing with marriage. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people see people that marry and they be like, man, they ain't happy. Then they don't want to get happy. I mean, they don't want to get married. You know what I'm saying? So it's like that part of it. It's like the, because you see so many people that's married or is in the church, some people see people in the church and like, man, they fake. I ain't want to be associate myself with that. Man, this person be cheating on such and such, being such and such DM. I ain't want to associate myself with that. But you can... People use that, but then you got the other side of everything else, like, you know, like people in gang members or something like that, you know what I'm saying? Like, get killed, you know what I'm saying? You got that, but they don't never say, man, I ain't want to be no gang member, you know what I'm saying? You got people who just messing with different women and stuff like that, and you know, catch HIV, man, I'm going to save myself. I'm going to be selling. I ain't doing none of that. But when it comes down to something that people put on a pedestal, they want to judge that in a light where, nah, see, this is the reason why I don't go to church nowadays. This is the reason why I don't, I ain't married now. Because people ain't faithful. Why? How come the things, I guess this is a question for you. How come the things that, like, people ain't none of that, don't associate themselves with church, don't associate themselves with, like, you know, having one woman or whatnot. They just kind of just doing whatever, you know what I'm saying? They doing all types of stuff and get ridiculed, like Diddy, for instance, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, his lifestyle. You know, now people basically criticizing him. But when he was doing it, nobody really wasn't saying a whole lot. You got select few people were saying stuff, but a lot of people wasn't highlighting it now as it is now. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I got a problem with that, man, for real. You know what I'm saying? Because people get like, it's a word I'm looking for. People get, I ain't gonna say select the memory, or it's more like people see stuff and then ignore it. You know what I'm saying? Because they do it too. You know what I'm saying? And then they justify it. Yeah, that's the word. People justify things that they do. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's a problem.
So to me, most people look for the right reason to do wrong. So therefore, when it comes to church and other things, like, I'm going to judge them more cruelly and more harshly than I would judge the gang member. Like, you see gang members dying, but that don't stop you from doing that. But you know deep down inside, especially in the South where we from, like, we know, like, church is a thing. Like, but if we see somebody do something fake in church, oh, I can't go back there. Every church is not the same. Everybody is not the same. So that's just an excuse. That's a good reason for you to do the wrong thing. You don't want to do that. Like, so all people look for is an excuse to not do what they know they need to be doing anyway. So to me, like, and then it's selective, like with Diddy. People being knowing what was going on. Like,
was doing it too.
Right. Right. A lot of people was.
They was doing it too.
So now they got to try to speak on it because they don't want the spotlight to come on them.
Man, that's fake, man. I can't stand it stuff
is.
Like that.
But
man,
we living in a time now where a lot of fake stuff is being classified as real. It's getting so mixed up in the world now. Like, they'll have you thinking you wrong for speaking real. So now it's so mixed up. Like, sometimes I'd be like, I just save my opinion because I'm not about to get online and battle against nobody, whatever your opinion is. But I try to always be on the side of right. But, like, it's getting so mixed up. Like, the stuff that they, like, just for instance, rappers. The fact that people justify what Sexy Red and all those women stand for, and the guys, they justify, oh, they just making music, the killing, the selling drugs, they justify all that. That's not a message that's good. And the fact that, well, she just living her truth, that's not good enough. She's polluting.
Yeah, what is that, man? Like, cause that seemed like the word I always hear. I've been hearing this for a few years now, but I've been hearing it a lot this year. Man, I'm just living my truth. What the hell is that, man?
Man, that's
what is that?
Man, I'm just living my truth. I feel like that's some stuff that people just saying nowadays to try to justify, again, the word justify, what they doing. Like, living my truth. A lot of stuff I know, but this one right here, living my truth, I don't even know. Like, it's normally, to me, I normally hear people in that, let me say the right thing, the alphabet community, normally I hear them say that.
I'm living my truth.
And the only reason why I'm saying the alphabet community, just for all the listeners, is because I don't know all the letters that's associated with it. So I just say LGB, alphabet. Y'all know what I'm talking about. But I normally hear those people say that, but I still don't know what that means. I don't know what living my truth mean. I don't know what that mean.
I know that if I was a murderer or something like that, and I have these impulsiveness thoughts, you know what I'm saying, to do something, can I say I'm just living my truth?
Like, I guess with the way the world is now, I guess that works.
Hey, I'm just living my truth.
I guess some people can live their truth and some people can't, depending on what your truth is. Because, like, you take a guy like Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah,
he said he been having those thoughts since he was little. He was killing animals. So I guess you could say once he started taking it up a notch and killing humans and raping humans. I guess he was living his truth. I don't know. I don't know how that works.
He was satisfied about it. You know what I'm saying? He was really satisfied about it. But yeah, man. I guess this is what the direction I had wanted to take the show today. But since we down this road, man, we might as well kind of stay on.
Let's get it
on top of it, because a lot of times I ain't even gonna lie, man. I really do think church in the general, like just talking about it, I've been raised up on it. I really think it's very important. And I use that just to teaching, you know, the biblical teaching of on how to live. I use that throughout my life, and also I use that, to discipline my kids. And teach my kids and stuff like that. I just think, you know, it's just really important. I see where we at as a society without it, you know what I'm saying? And you got some people who push back on it and feel like religion start a whole lot of wars and stuff like that. But, man, you got some I ain't never seen nobody like Christian talking about just killing people for Christ's sake.
See, okay, first off,
I ain't never seen her or nothing like that. I know Muslims do it.
Me neither. They've had wars, like as far as like I guess in the BC times or whatever. But as far as religion, okay, religion is this. That's just a practice of something. That's how religion is. What we're talking about is a relationship.
Yeah, relationship.
See, a lot of people can't really speak on that because they've never encountered God for real. We know that we go to church. We know that we sing the songs. We know that we read the Bible. We know that we pray. But if you don't have a relationship with God, you can never get a revelation for what you read, because the Holy Spirit don't talk to you. So you can read something and it's just words to you. But when the Holy Spirit dealing with you, you can read something and God give you a revelation on it. And those same words takes on a new form for you. Like the woman at the well. The average person could read that and be like, oh, okay, drunk from, okay. In that passage of scripture, it said he must needs to go through Samaria. Now, Jesus could have went a lot of different ways, but there was an appointed time that he was supposed to meet the lady at the well. So with just that alone, when I was reading it and the Holy Spirit talked to me about it, it was like, you're going to meet people in life and you're not going to know why, but you'll have a reason. And when you meet those people, you're supposed to minister to them, no matter creed, race, none of that stuff. Because really, Jesus was a Jew. So him and the Samaritan lady wasn't even supposed to be talking.
Yeah, they wasn't supposed to.
But that only comes through revelation. You got to have a relationship. That's like you being married. You don't ever talk to your wife, but y'all supposed to have a good relationship. You got to have a relationship with God in order to even get anything out of being in church at all. Because other than that, it's just a feeling. It's just, oh, they made me feel something at church today. Mm-hmm. Well, what exactly did you feel? Because happiness is a feeling, sadness is a feeling, madness is a feeling. What did you feel? So yeah. I think the disconnect is a lot of people is not searching for a relationship with God. And that's what makes the entire difference. It's not the religion of the practice of going to church, the practice of singing these songs, the practice of clapping your hands. It's the actual relationship that you have with God that makes the difference. And most people aren't searching for it, and they don't have one, so they don't see the value and being in church, because to them it's just a religious thing to do. Because on Sundays, especially in the South, on Sundays you're supposed to be in church. That goes without saying.
Yeah.
So the relationship, okay, religion without the relationship means absolutely nothing.
Quick question, man. How old are you? 29. Dang, so 29. So you born like
98, 99, 95.
I was ready to say, because a lot of people, I always talk about this great awakening in the 80s and 90s when it come down to Christ, you know what I'm saying, church. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, of course, church isn't exactly like the 80s and 90s, but I had, every time I talk to somebody, I guess they're much older, but they talk about when they got saved. They know the exact date. And time and everything, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, now we in a different time period right now. And, you know, I don't, you know, I, ain't too many people right now, especially after COVID, a lot of people going to church. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people don't go to church. A lot of people, actually, a lot of people really don't believe in God, to be, you know what I'm saying, be honest. Looking at the statistics I was reading across and stuff, they don't really believe in God. They actually think that they, you know what I'm saying, you hear people say the universe, you know, I believe in the universe and stuff like that. But I remember a time period, you ever had a God moment in your life, and being at 29, you ever had a God moment for as a experience? Because I know you speak on the experience and having a relationship with them. What was yours like? Because I could kind of recount.
Me, like, personally, I think mine was like, I'm going to be honest, and this is no lie. And
you know when?
Nah, I don't know when, but I'm going to be honest, man. Since I've been little, man, I'm going to be honest. I kind of been this way. Like I always felt like God had his hand on me since I was little. Like, so I don't know exactly, like, when the experience came, but I know, like, it was at one point in time when I was younger. I do vividly remember, like, the preacher asked us in church one day. He was like, if you die today, where do you think you'll go? And it was at that moment that I was really sitting to myself, and I was like, yo, I'm really not scared to die. Like, I really feel like I would go to heaven. But I understood, like, right, wrong, what you're supposed to be doing for God and all that. But I wasn't scared to die. But I don't actually remember, like, my experience, my encounter. I don't remember that.
Yeah. Man, I had so many, bro. I ain't even going to say anything fake. Some of the stuff, some of the experience I had, like, I can't even, you know, say it all on air. You know what I'm saying? I had a good bit, a lot of dreams. I had some real life encounters. But I probably would go into that, details about the one I had when I was at this particular church at this time, and the pastor let me get the keys to the church, and I was by myself. Wasn't nobody there with me. You know what I'm saying? I was just kind of, I had one is, you know, meditate, spend some time, you know what I'm saying, with God at church. And so he let me, one of the elders opened the door for me so I can go in and, you know, kind of just sit there and pray. And I did, man. I just kind of walk around just praying. You know, I was there for like 2 hours. But at the same time, I had, so what happened was I was praying. And then next thing you know, the Spirit of God just kind of hover over the place. It got misty in there, you know what I'm saying? It was like a gray cloud, you know what I'm saying? It was like light mist in there. And then next thing you know, like, I started speaking in tongues, and then I just got slung in the Spirit, like, just felt like with nobody touching me, you know what I'm saying? I was there by myself, but I felt that presence, though, you know what I'm saying? This honest got true. I felt that presence. And I felt something kind of guide me down to the floor. Like, now I went straight back now. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't nobody holding me. I was the only person there. And I was like, I don't know how long I was down there on the ground, but, like, I had that moment. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, man. And that feeling, man, I'll never forget that feeling, bro.
And you know what's so special about your story just now? Part of the reason why you were able to get that feeling is because you were in there by yourself. Nobody with you, right? So you said something about the Great Awakening, like, and people could remember those moments.
Yeah.
Nowadays, with church and with everything in life, there are so many distractions, you can't really make that connection. Like, there is a lot of distractions. And even when you're in church, in service, the devil has so many tricks where you might be at the threshold of a breakthrough. The mic start going off. A baby start crying. Somebody get up and walk past you. When you're able to, like, limit the distractions, God can really move, like, in a great way. So, like, a lot of people, like, and now they, like you said, people don't really go to church after COVID. They've made it so accessible.
Yeah.
I can really be sitting at my house. I'm technically, because my phone is up, I'm looking at the service right here, but I'm doing 1,000 other different things. I'm so distracted. So your encounter with God, like, if you can mentally block out all the distractions, you could have it with everybody in the room with you, but that encounter with God is normally going to be a time of with no distractions, because it's hard for you to focus on the prize. Like, when I think I forgot who it was when they were on the boat, and then they Jesus started walking on water. Who else was walking with Jesus when he was walking on water?
That was Paul. He had bid Paul to come. I think it was a storm.
It was a storm out.
It was Paul. Not Paul, but
Peter.
Peter. Yeah.
Peter. Okay. So Peter kept doing good. As long as his focus, as long as the distractions of everything else was out the way, Peter walked on water. It's when the distractions came and he took his eyes off what he was supposed to take his eyes off of, where Jesus had to come save him. So when you can limit the distractions, the Holy Spirit can move in a great way with you. So yeah. Nowadays in church, people not remembering those moments because they're not having those moments because there's no relationship, and then there's too many distractions. Think about it. People actually have their phones in church. Like, kids have tablets in church, and I don't understand the disconnect in kids having tablets in church, because when I was a child in church, we was tuned into service. And my mama was one of them type of mamas. You get on that pew and start playing, she'd be clapping her hands, you'd be then caught one to the mouth, and she clapping like ain't nothing happened.
Yeah.
So you have all those distractions coming to church, and just it's hard for people to they already don't have a relationship, and you got distractions. You ain't gonna never feel nothing. You gonna always, I don't even know why people do this. So I feel like the distractions era now, that's why people can't remember those moments. That's why they don't have those moments. It's too many distractions.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure you see it at your local church, people be on their cell phone. I mean, a lot of times, well, you can have the Bible app up, but a lot of times, come on, man, your Instagram just went off. You getting ready to check that. You know what I'm saying?
Even that, I'm going to be honest, even that, the Bible app, I don't do the Bible app. Because if this technology ever go out, I like a page turner. That's just me. I mean, I don't think anything is wrong with the Bible app if you use it. But just for me, like you just said, I could be using this Bible app. But if I get a text message, I might peek at the text message. And now to distractions. Now I'm distracted from what God could have possibly implanted for me to receive in this scripture that I was reading, or this passage of scripture that I was reading, because now I done got distracted by the little text I got.
Yeah.
So I don't really do the Bible app. I try to have my page turning when I go to church.
You have your local book.
Yes, sir.
Man, I'm gonna be real cute. I have so many. I got like four different types of Bibles. Then I got like a study Bible. I got all types of stuff.
That's the one I got, like the study Bible.
And if you ask me, how many times I didn't look at it. I was at a certain place in my life where I say, man, I want to get everything. I just want to study. I want to just get into this word, you know, and just learn so much stuff. And then after a while, like, you know, just kind of life, you know, I say life happens. And then, you know, I guess, you know, that just kind of exposed what I made my priority in my life during that time, because now I just got them books now. But the good thing about it is because I spent so much money on the books, I still have them, man, and you know, I'm able to just go back and just kind of study, because the word of God, man, is one of the things where, you know, you can't. I don't care if you studying for 40 years, you're always discovering something new. The Holy Spirit always revealing a new revelation on certain things.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like you never arrive when you know what I'm saying. You know, just because you know you've been in the faith for like 40, 50 years. The Holy Spirit always revealing things, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and when you're connected to other people that's dealing in the same, he'll use them to give you a new perspective on something that you might have read. You're like, oh man, I read that, but I didn't get that from that. Yeah. So that's the beautiful part about that. It's like, now when I get done with the Way of the Wolf book, I might come up with everything that I was supposed to come up with that book that I read. But like you said, with the Bible, it's a never ending thing, because I can read the scripture. Like, man, that one that I always be talking about, the woman at the well, man, every time when I was studying for that, to present at church, because our pastor needed us to pick a passage of scripture and teach on it for 15 minutes. So, man, while I'm studying, I'm getting like, it's coming in like a computer, like how the numbers be coming like on Wall Street. That's how it's coming in, because there's so many different things just out of that passage of scripture. So, like you said, like, man, it's just, you never get it. You never could say like, Oh, I arrived.
Yeah, I studied the whole thing, man. I mastered it.
Like, I know this Bible front and back. You may know the lettering front and back, but you don't know all the revelations.
You don't.
You can never know all the revelations of it.
That's because as we in my opinion, man, as we kind of continue to live, we had a different, you know, we had a different place in our life. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like when I was in my 20s, I thought a certain type of way. When I read the word, my 20-year-old brain articulated, processed it as a 20-something years old. Now, you know what I'm saying? As I get older, that same passage, like, it means something totally different, because now, why? Because I got a wife, I got kids and stuff like that. And it's just like, you know what I'm saying, dad, this, you know what I'm saying, it revealed a different revelation. You know what I'm saying? Even as I get older, my kids get older, you know what I'm saying? And now, you know, I got, you know, young, you know, they got grandkids, you know, I got grandkids and stuff. That same, I'm just saying.
I'm about to say.
No, that ain't the case. But I'm just saying, as I get older, mm-hmm. and my kids end up, you know, getting married and having kids, and you know what I'm saying, I'll be at a different place in my life during that time, and when I read the word, I get a different meaning out of it. You know what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. I'm at a different place in my life, and that's the reason why I say, as you continue to kind of, you know, grow and study, you know, throughout your whole life, man, that same scripture or means something totally different as you age in life. You know what I'm saying? So that's one of the greatest things I think about the word of God. I'm serious, man. I always say this, and I'm gonna continue to say it, man. I just don't really see how people go throughout life without having a certain level, you know, a certain level relationship with God. Because I kind of went through that, and it's just like, you know, even though things still gonna happen, but you have that reassurance. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Remember we was talking about that joy.
Right.
You know, reaping may endure
for a night, but yeah. Joy comes in the morning.
Yeah, man, and that's the only way you can be able to get joy, man.
You said something that's very important. You said as you get older and as you go through more stuff in life, it means a different thing to you.
Yeah,
that's why they call it the living word, because as you live, different stuff get revealed about the stuff that you read. That's why it's not a dead word. That's why it's a living word, because as you live and as you go through different things, you start seeing it from a different perspective. You start seeing it from a different light. That's why a mature Christian can read the Bible and get something out of it that somebody that just came into the faith don't get.
Yeah.
Because it's the living word. And as you live, it grows with you. And like it dawns on you in a different manner. So like what you said is very, very, very true.
Yeah. Yeah. So, man, this right here was some good, great, awesome insight and a whole lot of stuff. I really enjoy kind of talking about that. Hopefully we can kind of talk about this, you know, at least, you know what I'm saying, once a month, like dive into the word and just kind of dissect certain things, because I just really think that's really important. That, I mean, that's how I live my life. You know, that's mm-hmm. how you live your life.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And everything else. But I'm kind of pivot a little bit. You know, you got any plans for the holidays or New Year's?
Nah, I ain't really got too many plans, man. Let me see. Do I have any plans? Nothing really. Like, I don't do the New Year's resolution. I don't do all that. Those most of the time are New Year's lies. So,
You said New Year's lies.
Yeah, we most people.
It'd be true for about 2 weeks in the new year.
Folks know they do it every year. So if you do something every year and don't never hold up to it, then you pretty much know you about to tell a lie.
Well, let me ask you a question, man. This is a stupid question. Yeah, I know there's no such thing as a stupid question, but like, say for instance, to me it's funny. Like, say for instance, it's February. Mm-hmm. Do we do? And you ran into somebody a long time. Do we still say Happy New Year to that person even though you?
No. I ain't telling them Happy New Year. In February, I ain't telling you Happy New Year. You got New Year's Day for that. And after that, how you doing, brother?
So it's a time period.
I think that's about like me.
Yeah.
I'm one of them type of people. Like if my birthday is August 1st. And if you see me.
Your birthday August 1st, real?
Yeah, yeah.
That my son's birthday August 1st.
Oh, really? Yeah. That's wild. So my birthday August 1st. If you see me August 2nd, Please don't tell me happy birthday or happy belated.
Happy belated.
Yeah, my birthday was yesterday. Please, I'm not one of those type of people. Like, if you, like, so on New Year's, you get one day, and after that, how you doing? It ain't no happy New Year after that.
I'm saying happy New Year to you.
Nah, I can't do it. I know that's shallow, but I'm just, it's the day of. Anything after that,
yeah.
Hey, it is what it is.
It is what it is. Mm-hmm. Hey, do you believe in horoscopes and stuff like that?
Man, I don't think so. I know everybody always say I'm this, I'm that, but I don't really subscribe to that. You don't think you is? No, because with the horoscope thing, I feel like a lot of times people that believe in that stuff, they'll allow themselves to act a certain way just because of that sign or what they are. And it gives you a reason to be like you are.
Oh, okay, I got you.
So I think a lot of times, like, to say I'm a Leo. Like, oh, I'm a Leo. They say Leo's this. They say Leo's. So people try to hold true to whatever they say their sign does. Like, and I feel like it becomes like a thing where, like, you just, like, let's say for instance, oh, they say Leo's lie bad. So I get in the habit of telling lies. And somebody be like, man, you know what? You lie real bad.
You lie bad, though?
I lie bad because I'm a Leo. Nah, bro. You need to stop lying, bro. Don't use that sign as no reason to be the way that you are. Like, so I think a lot of times people use those signs to, you know, justify the things that they do instead of like, okay, if I'm a liar, then I need to work on that. I'm not lying because I'm Leo. I'm lying because that's what I choose to do.
Do you lie bad, though?
I ain't going to say I lie bad, but I joke bad. I ain't going to say I lie bad. Like, now I will say this. I'm the person at work that if I go fishing and I catch a fish the size of my hand, I'm going to tell you that it broke my reel. I'm going to tell you that.
Oh, you're going to exaggerate.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you exaggerate.
I'm going to spin that story. I'm going to spin it. Yeah, I caught a fish about as long as my arm. And it could have been as long as my thumb. And I'm going to tell you it was as long as my arm.
Well, the reason why I ask, because, you know, I said my son's birthday August 1st, and he exaggerated real, real bad.
Yeah, I do.
He exaggerates so bad.
Now, I hate I said what I said, because I do got to be honest. It'd be kind of crazy that some of them signs, like the similarities in them, be like really, really crazy. I just can't believe in it to the fact of like you got to be a certain way because you was born this time of year. Like it doesn't make sense.
Well, let me ask you another question then. You a moody person?
Nah, I'm not moody. Whatever you see from me is what you get. Like, now, do I have bad days? Yeah, but with me, you pretty much going to know who you're getting all the time.
Oh, okay.
I can't stand the wishy-washy. Like, one day you come talk to me, and I'm the nicest person to talk to. Then another day you talk to me, and it's like, man, this ain't the same person I talked to. I can't stand that.
Yeah.
I can't stand, like, no. I ain't moody at all. You moody?
I'm moody.
No, man.
Yeah, some days I just ain't up to it. I don't feel like it. Whatever that is.
But that's understandable, though. I wouldn't consider that moody. Like, to me, moody is like,
I'd be cordial, though.
Yeah, to me, moody is like some days you just don't feel it, and like some days I don't feel it. Like, but that's normal. Moody to me is like I came in here, I'm talking, I'm chopping it up with everybody. Then in the next 5 minutes, nobody really did anything to me.
Oh, okay.
But you come up and talk to me. Yeah. All right. Like, damn, what's wrong with bro? Like, ain't nobody even saying that to him. Like,
I work with people like that every day.
And see, me, it's like, because I'm so myself all the time, it's hard for me to really kind of like deal with that. It's kind of hard for me to deal with that. Like, because what you see is what you get. Now, if I come in and I'm standoffish, then more than likely everybody at my job know, like, okay, he got something going on. Just, you know, give him his little moment.
Yeah.
But just to be moody, like, you talking to me this minute, and I'm bubbly, I'm this happy person, I'm full of energy, then the next minute, yeah, it's around the corner. Yeah. Uh-huh. Like, I don't know how to deal with that. I don't know how to deal with people that operate like that.
Yeah, sometimes I feel like my son like that. But then again, he said he feel like I am. He be telling my wife, like, I don't know, Dad seem like he in the mood. And she'll let me know. I'm like, what? Man, listen, I just work 12 hours. I mean, of course I'm not in a sighted move after I didn't got off work. And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Cause she be like, yeah, Brandon, you is kind of moody a little bit.
I don't know, but after a 12-hour shift, I can't really say that's moody. You feel what I'm saying? I can't really say. I'm tired, boy.
Yeah, like in my face right now.
That's real life. After a 12-hour shift, I can't say I'm gonna come home and be like, "Hi, kids, are you ready to go to the park?" I can't say I'm gonna be like that. I'm like, "Hey, how y'all? I'm gonna respect y'all, and you know, hey, how y'all doing? I'm sorry you can't get the best of dad right now. You can't get the best of me right now, but it's not because I'm being moody. It's because I'm tired. Like, yeah. We have to allow you to be tired. Like, that's not moody. We have to allow you to be tired. Like, that's real life human things that you go through with. But that's not moody to me.
It is. You just get ready to say something, OQ, before I see you checking some stuff. Oh, you good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Well, let me see how long we got. About 10 minutes. Yeah, I was getting ready to ask, you got any, I asked you already, you got plans for the holidays, and you say, nah. But do you have any goals that, since it's towards the end of the year, by the time this air, I know a lot of times people, I don't know, is it something about, I don't know if it's a placebo effect when it comes down to the new year, is people feel like they get this extra energy.
Mm-hmm.
They feel like they on charge. Hey, listen, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Do you have anything in particular that you really focus on, that you really want to see get done in 2025?
In 2025, I know you proposed something in the group chat.
Yeah, put it out there, man. That's it.
Okay, so his proposal is he wants to see who could be the first one amongst us to reach $100,000 in 6 months, right?
Yeah,
the first one to reach $100,000. So, man, I just really been sitting here trying to think of ways. Yeah, you know what I said in the group chat. I ain't gonna say that now, but I just been really sitting here trying to think of ways, like, Even if I don't feel like that's kind of attainable with what I do, like, what's ways that you can kind of, like, because it's a challenge.
Is it?
So
is.
To me, it challenges me to think outside the box. I know inside the box what my job would do, but outside the box, that's what I've been trying to think of. Like, okay, what can you do outside the norm of what you actually do that can kind of generate some funds?
Yeah.
Like, so it made me think, like, what avenues could I go in? Like, so I really appreciated that, because although some people may look at it and be like, man, that's far-fetched. Nah, like Walt said, it make you think, like, get creative.
Yeah.
Get creative.
So did you came up with anything?
Nope. I'm still thinking and praying. Because I ain't thinking nothing, man. Okay. Yeah. But as far as my goals, man, I ain't no person that really do all, like, the goal thing, what's your 5-year? I don't really do that. I just know I want to get better. Like, I try to do stuff like, I want to get better with saving. I want to get more discipline in this area. I want to, you know.
Right.
I do things like that. I don't really be like, well, by the end of next year, I want to have $6 million saved. I don't really do that. Like, there's nothing wrong with people that do that. Just for me, that's not something that I do. So I just want to get better in a lot of areas in my life, as far as, like, my relationship with God, my saving, like, just being more disciplined, a better relationship with my old lady, better relationship with my family too, man.
Any rank in the future?
Yeah, most definitely.
Okay.
Most
definitely. Yeah.
And we've been doing it long enough to really, like, you know,
yeah,
stop playing. Like, I, like, 8 or 9 years is a little too long to be playing.
Well, you know her, everything about her.
Yeah. So at this point,
Everything about her.
Yeah, I gotta stop playing with it.
I think that's dope, man. I know for as me, man, listen, I was just thinking about this before I, you know, was riding up to the studio. Actually, I was thinking about this at the house. I was like, man, I just really think, you know, with this podcast, I really feel like while we're doing this, man, I feel like we can be the number one podcast screaming in you know, for the year. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's really my goal. I want to change some stuff up, man, with, you know, the way we kind of do things and stuff like that. And, you know, get more guests on. What else? Get some, you know, high-profile guests. Get, you know, being on other people's platforms too as well. So, like, it's really the whole 9 yards, man, what this year is all about. Another thing, too, introducing some merch. I got some
Okay.
Some clothing line.
Pop it.
Yeah. Still working on that. The looks and everything else. So, the project date. Well, I guess the projecting date is in April. We're doing projection date in April, fully launch.
Okay.
So I really, really look forward to that.
So yeah, I'm definitely on the lookout for that because you're a pretty smooth dude.
Well, I appreciate it, man. I don't know, it's pretty smooth, man. Hey, you know, I just kind of be myself, but hey, you know, hopefully other people think that and buy as much clothes as you want to. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, right now I'm working on I think I got six items that I'm working on right
now. It's gonna be a luxury brand.
No, it's gonna start off urban, and then I'm probably gonna end up branching off doing some some other luxury items. The good thing about it is I can kind of freestyle with it and go how I want to go. So I really look forward to that, man. So when we talking about $100,000 in 6 months, I'm trying to maximize as much as I can because I ain't never in my whole life, man, I ever gave it my all. And so I'm at a place in my life now. I'm getting older. I'm like, man, I'm getting older, man. I ain't got time to wait. You know what I'm saying? I got to get it. So that's what really made me want to go all in, you know, right now. So, you know, I kind of look forward to that. I look forward to 2025. I look forward to Saturday. You still coming, right?
Yeah. Okay. I got you. Yeah, I'm going to be there. Because I think it's I think it's very needed. A lot of times you see couples doing this kind of stuff. You see females doing this kind of stuff. But it ain't really like a space like for guys to really be doing it. And I think so just to let them know, you could let them know like what you got in mind for Saturday.
Okay. Yeah. So Saturday basically it's a vision party get together. We got some guys right now. I think right now we have 6 people participating. And so it's going to be real fun. We're going to talk about your vision and what you want out of 2025, how you want to get it, and we're going to strategize basically how you're going to do it. And we're going to meet up once a month just to kind of, you know, retract where we at with everything, where you at in your process. And also we're going to pair people up with accountability partner to keep them, you know, accountable, their own personal goals. So
right.
I think that's going to be super dope right there. I think that's the key thing, partnering you up with accountability partner to help you and you help them achieve their goals. So it's going to be fire, bro.
And also, you know, like you said, bro, I really think that's important for guys to get together and do that and to be the pillars of the community like we're supposed to do. And, man, you like you said, just being accountable, man, because it's easy to say, you know, I'm going to do this, and then you ain't really got to, you know, answer to nobody. And I really want this to be a more strict thing with, like, hey, bro, come on, you slacking on me. Like, you really need to get on top of that. So I really think it's a beautiful thing, and then hopefully it may start out small, but hopefully it grow, once it hit the ears and people see, like, oh, man, those guys really have, like, I'm going to use a young word, those guys really have emotion.
Yeah.
So hopefully, you know, that just encourages everybody else, you know, to get on board and join along with us.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be dope. Right now, I was working on a flyer. I said, man, being in this space right here, it kind of put me into, like, have multiple hats that I normally don't wear.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it could be a little frustrating, but you know what I'm saying, I'm here, and I know I can reach out to other people to kind of, you know what I'm saying, help me out and make me a flyer. But you know, I think you told me it's kind of best to kind of do it on your own just to see it through. So,
and you ain't never hit me back. You ain't never hit me back.
What? When else was that?
Okay. Man, you were supposed. Now that you say that, I was supposed to be sending you the thing for Canva, TikToks on how to like really spice it up and get it where you wanted it.
Okay. Well, this is a reminder. I think this part. You got anything last thing you want to give any last remarks?
Just something.
Gonna be the end of the year.
Just something slight, man. If you don't do the New Year's resolution. If you set a goal for the year, man, really, you know, be intentional about the goals you set and make sure it's something that you know you can do. If you say, I'm going to go to the gym, don't say you're going to go to the gym and do 5 days a week if you know you ain't going to do it. Say, I think I'll try to walk 15 minutes a day. Just be honest with yourself and, you know, whatever you say you're going to do, man, just go out and do it. No excuses.
That's good. Yeah, it'd be this. Yeah, you can. Yeah. So I guess this is towards the end of the year. Listen, it's been a great year.
Yes, sir.
It's been a great year for you. Grateful year for me and my family and whatnot. And listen, man, this is towards the end of the year, man. I pray everybody had a successful year. Everybody be safe over the holidays, man. We're going to do it again. I feel really, really excited by next year. You know what I'm saying? This, we 6 months in, 6 months in this podcasting thing, man. Do me a favor. Make sure you hit the likes. Give me 5 stars if you don't think it deserves 5 stars. Give me any feedback on what we can do better as a group. And I appreciate y'all. I love y'all. Y'all be safe. And y'all have a happy new year. Happy holidays. We out.
Yes, sir.